Welcome to the podcast of Trinity Church London. You're listening to a message given on a Sunday morning. If you'd like to know more about us and the life of the church, please visit trinitychurchlondon.com.
I want to just begin by wishing you all a happy new year. 2024 is over and 2025 has begun. I'm not sure how you feel about that. Maybe you feel relieved. Maybe 2024 was a difficult year for you and you're glad to see the back of it. Maybe you're feeling anxious or nervous. You know that in 2025 there are challenges ahead and perhaps it's playing on your mind. Maybe you are excited. Maybe there are new opportunities ahead that you're looking forward to. Well, whatever you're feeling right now, I want to share something that has the power to make 2025 a more positive year for everyone here. It's not a new diet to help you shed the extra pounds you gained at Christmas. It's not an exercise routine to get you beach ready for the summer. It's not a financial strategy to help you become a millionaire. Neither is it a new app to help you spend less time on your phone. Rather, it is a biblical principle that has helped countless people over the years and one that has made a real difference in my own life. I want to talk to you this morning about the transforming power of thanksgiving. The transforming power of thanksgiving. Now, right now, having heard the word thanksgiving, maybe some of you are about to switch off. I've heard this before. Oh, not another message on thanksgiving. Or perhaps you feel, I've got real problems, mate. I need real solutions. Thanksgiving isn't going to cut it. Well, let me ask you to bear with me, because as I said earlier, this habit has changed many lives, including my own. Let's begin by praying. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that not only does it tell us about you, but it tells us about how we can live in light of who you are and all that you've done for us. And so, Lord, I ask that as we unpack this principle of thanksgiving this morning, that, Lord, you will open our eyes to see the incredible, amazing blessing that you have lavished on us, and that, Lord, you would help us in the year ahead to walk in joy and hope, knowing, Lord, that you have gone before us and will continue to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so in the Bible, in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian church, he wrote these words in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. He says this: "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This verse is a nice summary of the New Testament teaching on thanksgiving. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I want to look at three questions this morning. Why should we give thanks? When should we give thanks? And what should we give thanks for? So let me begin by answering this question: why should we give thanks? Well, what does the verse say? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, the Greek verb there that is used for give thanks is an imperative. In other words, it's a command, not a suggestion. And as if that wasn't enough, Paul adds the words, "This is the will of God." In other words, This is what God wants you to do. Give thanks, okay? Not only a command, this is what God wants you to do. Now, there are many other places in the New Testament where followers of Jesus are urged to give thanks. Let me read a couple of them. Ephesians 5, verse 4. There should not be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And finally, Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We often miss the thanksgiving bit in that verse and jump straight to the prayer and petition. So, for those here today and on Zoom who genuinely want to live their lives by the Bible, we should be putting this principle of thanksgiving into practice. But what about those who are sceptical about the Bible? Is there any other evidence to suggest that thanksgiving or gratitude is beneficial? Well, there is some scientific evidence. In 2003, psychologists Robert Emmons and Michael McCullough published a paper looking at the impact of gratitude on people's moods, and they conducted three experiments over 10 weeks, and people were asked to write down five things they were grateful for each week and to list ways that they were better off than others. And those who did this reported feeling 25% happier, being more optimistic about the future, and in general feeling better about their lives. And what I found profoundly interesting was that one of the groups were people with chronic health issues, serious health issues, and yet at the end of 10 weeks they felt more satisfied with their lives, they felt more optimistic, and they were sleeping better. It's fascinating, isn't it, the difference that gratitude can make. In an article on beating depression, clinical psychologist Alison Connor wrote this: when it comes to living life, gratitude is key. Without gratitude, there is no way to realise your full potential for feeling joy. So whether you are a Christian, a believer here today or not, it's worth cultivating an attitude of gratitude. So that's the first one. Why should we give thanks? Secondly, when should we give thanks? Well, our verse tells us, doesn't it? Give thanks when you feel like it. Give thanks once in a blue moon. Give thanks when Halley's Comet comes around every 70 years. No, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. Not some. In other words, when everything's going well and you're feeling happy. Rather, give thanks in all circumstances. We should be overflowing with thankfulness, whatever our situation. Let me stop for a minute and ask this question. Is this really possible? Is it really possible to be overflowing with thankfulness in every situation? What about when everything seems to be going wrong? Maybe you're seriously ill, have no money, you're struggling at work, maybe a loved one is suffering. How can we keep thanking God in such difficult scenarios? Well, one answer, of course, the theological one, is Romans 8:28, which assures us, says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In other words, behind the scenes, God is always working for our good. So that even when things don't make sense, we know that somehow God is seeking to bless and mature us. That's the theological answer, but I want to give another, perhaps more practical one. Another reason we can thank God in every situation is simply that there is always something to give that God thanks for. There's always something to be thankful for. Really? You might be thinking. Well, I'm hoping that you'll be totally convinced about this by the end of this message, because we're going to skip on now to what should we give thanks for. Well, when I was looking at this, I thought it would be interesting, before I kind of apply the message now to us today, to actually look back in the New Testament and think, well, what did people in the New Testament, in the Bible, give thanks for? Well, here's a list of some of the things that people in the New Testament gave thanks for. For food, for healing, for spiritual gifts, for answered prayer, for good decisions made in the past, for provision, for other people, for revelation of the truth, for victory over sin and death, for forgiveness and reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20 sums it up. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we should thank God for everything. Now, let's take time to be a bit more practical about this. What does this look like? What does it mean to give thanks for everything? Because sometimes we can have a statement like that, but we need to have it nailed down in our lives. What does it look like on a daily basis to be thankful for everything? Well, let me give you a few ideas. In Genesis 1, verse 31, it says that God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Now, when you live in a busy, crowded city, you can often overlook the beauty of God's creation. But if you think about it, there are glimpses of his creative grace everywhere. The sun rising on a misty morning, the dew sparkling on the grass, and the birds beginning to sing. Maybe in a central London park, as you're walking around it, you see the sunlight reflecting off of the water. See the trees of variety of different kinds, or bright green parakeets squawking in the trees. And then, I know this is winter, but we've got spring around the corner. And before you know it, we'll be seeing snowdrops and crocuses and daffodils and bluebells and blossom on the trees. This is just in London. And if you go outside the city, you've got the rolling countryside. You've got the rugged moorlands and the peaks, rushing rivers and waterfalls. And then you look up and you see the stars and the planets and the beautiful sunshine. Our universe is full of awesome beauty. All of it created by God for us to enjoy. Now, I find it particularly helpful, because if I'm feeling low or feeling a bit down, then I might go out for a walk. So sometimes I just choose to go out for a walk, and I find that I often start to pray without even really trying, because I'm walking along and I'm suddenly seeing these beautiful trees. Oh Lord, thank you for the beauty of your creation. Oh Lord, thank you for this. And I'm kind of walking around, and everywhere I'm going, I'm seeing the beauty of God. And you think, oh wow. Now, you don't even have to be in beautiful countryside. Every day when I walk to work, I get off the bus and I walk down this pretty manky street in Orpington to my school. And I walk down the street, and nearly every day I look across and I see this beautiful flower, or I hear some birds squeaking, or I hear, do you know, I'm walking down the street, and every day, every time I walk down, there is something beautiful down that street. I just have to have the eyes to see it. And so often, sadly, we miss the glimpses of God's creation when they're right in front of us. So the first thing I want to do is to encourage you. Look around you. See the beauty of God's creation. Yes, it serves a functional purpose, but it's so much more than that. It displays the generosity and the majesty and the beauty of our awesome Creator. Amen? Amen. Okay, the next thing, food and drink. Might be a funny thing to mention. Well, in Acts 14, when talking to a crowd in ancient Turkey, Paul tells them this: God has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Now, it doesn't say Lidl provides you with plenty of food, or Sainsbury's provides you, or Waitrose if you're kind of a bit more upper class. You see, living in the city, we often tend to think that food comes from a shop or from a restaurant or a takeaway. But if you live in the countryside, you see firsthand the miracle of God's provision. As you see the farmer ploughing the ground and sowing the seeds, and suddenly you've got these crops. Now, you see the miracle of God's provision. And now, at this point, the sermon becomes interactive, because I'm going to ask you a question, and it's not rhetorical, okay? I want you to think of a food that you really enjoy, okay? If people don't do it, I'm going to pick on you, so you've got to just kind of embrace this interactive element, okay? Think of a food or a drink that you really enjoy, okay? And shout it out. Okay, who's going to go first?
Burgers.
Excellent. Burgers. Something else? Sorry?
Sashimi.
Okay.
Yeah. Raspberries.
Tea.
Peach and Thai
green curry.
Lasagna.
Sorry? Lasagna. Anything else?
Chicken tikka.
Awesome. Yeah.
Apple crumble.
Love it. What about our Brazilians?
Moshina.
Yeah. Anything else?
Churrasco.
Okay. Anything else? Fried chicken, yes, a lovely bit of fried chicken. Anyone else?
Dominican lamb.
Very nice. And anyone starting to feel hungry?
Lentils.
Love it. Okay, now, guys, I did this for a reason, okay? Can you see, we've taken 30 seconds. Can you see the variety? The variety of foods and drinks that God has given us. Now, He's provided us with raw materials to make them, and He's given us the creativity and the ability to combine things together to make thousands of delicious dishes and drinks too. I think about how nice it is on a cold, rainy morning like today to have a steaming hot coffee or a tea or a hot chocolate. Or on a hot summer's day when it's 30 degrees, you know, those very rare occasions in this country, and to sit in the back garden with a nice glass of chilled white wine or a beer or a cocktail, or if you're a kid or a student, a nice milkshake or something like that with your friends. So many. Now, if you take a minute just to think about it, you could honestly, and I've done this before, this might sound weird, but I've done this before. I think I probably spent at times like maybe 15, 20 minutes just thanking God for food and drink. Because literally, what happens? You see, you start off with it, and then suddenly the thoughts spark, and you suddenly realise that God is not some stingy God who gives you one manky meal to eat for the rest of your life. God, in His infinite grace, wisdom and generosity, gives us the choice of thousands of delicious, nutritious dishes and foods to enjoy. And you might think, oh, this is so earthy. Oh, I want the spiritual New Year's message. No, no, no. Guys, God, in his generosity, has given these things for us to enjoy. Guys, it's in the Bible. It says here, see? He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy.
Amen.
Okay, did you know God loves food? Yeah, okay, God loves food. It's his gift to us. And in heaven, there's going to be a wedding feast. And it's going to be the best food you have ever tasted in your life. Okay, we can give God thanks for food. Other things. I mean, as you start to realise, we could be here all day, okay? Other things. There are so many other things to thank God for. Access to free education, to healthcare, to social security. So many parts of our world, these basic things that we take for granted here, they don't have. And they get into debt and all kinds of trouble because they don't have access to these things. And we literally, just by being in this country, often have access to these things. Houses, cars, millions of books, movies and games to enjoy. Music, jazz, classical, rock, blues, country, if you're that way inclined. Painting, sculpture, architecture, sports like football, cricket, skiing, swimming, running. Created by men? Yes. But we're made in the image of God. And we get our creativity from him. Now, of course, we have to be selective. Not everything is good or beneficial for us. But we can thank God and glorify him for many, many things. Amen? Amen. Can you? Is this starting to get across? Because what happened when I started to look at this, I started to see, oh my goodness, I am so blind to the incredible generosity of God that surrounds me every moment of the day. Because we think somehow that these things are just world or whatever. No, no. All these things are a gift of God that comes to us for our good and for our blessing. Let me share one or two other things and then we'll look a bit more about the impact. Relationships. Parents. Now, you only understand when you are a parent yourself just how much parents do. Changing nappies, making food, washing clothes, hugs, encouragement, educating, financial support, taxi service, DIY, constant prayers. There are so many things that parents do for children. If you have good parents, or if you've had good parents, think about that. So many people haven't had good parents. You've got good parents. Be grateful. Thank God for them. And tell them that you appreciate them too, because they need to hear it.
Love you, Dad.
Thank you. If you are married here, okay, your spouse, Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favour from the Lord. Again, sometimes we think, oh, it's Hollywood. It's love. It's my heart. It's my emotions. It's cosmopolitan. No. Okay, the Bible tells us, okay, he who finds a wife receives what is good and receives favour from the Lord. From the Lord. Okay, if you are privileged to be married here today, okay, your spouse is a gift from the Lord for you. Now, I don't know if you noticed it in that verse, it says that he who finds a wife finds what is good. It doesn't say the same about husbands, but I'm assuming we can flip that around. He who finds a husband is blessed by God, most of the time. When I stop for a minute and I think about all that God's given me in this, I'm so grateful. And she's encouraging, she's kind, she's patient, she's hardworking, she's prayerful, she's constantly serving and loving others. She is an amazing wife. And God has given her to me. He's given her to me. Wow. I'm so grateful. So easy to lose sight of God's generosity because we're just blind to it. And it's all around us. What about children? Psalm 127 verse 3 says, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. From him. I simply cannot describe the privilege it is to be a father. Of course, there are times when it's overwhelming and frustrating, but so often my children are a source of great joy and laughter. And the Bible tells me they are a gift from God. It's not just, oh yeah, Liz and I decided to have kids and here they are, blah. It's like, no. They are a gift from God that I need to be grateful for. Friends, I'm going to think a minute about some of your close friends. The fun you've had together, the way they've stood by you, the way you can talk to them and share your heart. Friends are a gift from God. Now, we've focused so far on physical and temporal things. What about spiritual blessings? Well, we've got the Bible. What would life be like without the Bible? How would we know right from wrong? How would we even know what God is and who he is and what he's like? And he's revealed it to us through his word, the Bible. You know, in parts of the world today, they don't have the Bible in their own language. For many years, people, the average person, didn't have the Bible available to them. They just had the priests reading corrupted versions in Latin. And yet now, we have God's word available to us in hundreds of languages, so we can read it in our native tongue. For Jesus and all that he's accomplished for us. And this is another whole message in itself. Jesus, God's only son, who, as we celebrate at Christmas, left the glory of heaven to die for us, that we might be forgiven and have eternal life. Now, when I survey all of these things that I've just spent the last 10 minutes talking to you about, the only conclusion I can come to is, isn't God good? Isn't he far better than we realise? Isn't he more generous than we can ever really grasp? Now, at the beginning of this message, I talked about Thanksgiving being a biblical principle that will make our lives more positive. And let's just take a few minutes at the end of this message to consider the impact of Thanksgiving. Well, firstly, I want to share from my own life, because Thanksgiving has made a difference in my own life. By nature, I tend to be one of those glass half empty people, one of those kind of slightly negative people focusing more on the problems rather than on what's right and getting down about things. And some years back I studied the topic of Thanksgiving, and I started to grasp and understand it was something that I was neglecting and something I needed to push into. And over the years, as I've done it time after time, I've seen in my own life its ability to transform my outlook and my thinking and also my emotions too. And I put it into practice nearly every day. It could be when I'm making coffee, it could be when I'm driving, when I'm walking to work, just looking around and just seeing and noticing and giving thanks for things. It's definitely helped me having a more positive outlook. But let me give you a couple of other benefits. Firstly, thanksgiving leads to joy. It really does. Best-selling book, The Power of Positive Thinking, by a Christian pastor called Norman Peel, writes this. He says this, Listen carefully. This is a quote that's helped me on a number of occasions. The blows of life, the accumulation of difficulties, the multiplication of problems tend to sap energy and leave you spent and discouraged. And the person yields to a discouragement that is not justified by the facts. Okay, let me read that again, okay? The blows of life, the accumulation of difficulties, the multiplication of problems tend to sap energy and leave you spent and discouraged. And a person yields to a discouragement that is not justified by the facts. I mean, how often have I done that? How often have I yielded to a discouragement that is just not justified by the facts? You see, often our minds become dominated by a few things that aren't right. Can we have that PowerPoint slide up? That's all right. Now, if you have a look at that very first picture, it doesn't look very bright, does it? Okay, if that was your life, if that represented your life, it wouldn't seem very bright or very positive, would it? Okay, if we can gradually skip through the next few slides. Remember the big picture. See, so often, we focus, like we did on the picture there, on the dark bit in our lives, on the thing, maybe one or two things that aren't right. We forget everything that is right and everything that is beautiful. And what Thanksgiving allows us to do is to stop allowing our minds to be dominated by those one or two things that are wrong with our lives, and to step back and widen our vision and see again the goodness of God. That's what Thanksgiving, done regularly, enables us to do. Our perspective changes and suddenly you realise that's the reality of my life. Yeah? That's the reality of my life, not this nasty, dark bit. The reality is that God is with me. He has blessed me again and again and again, and he has promised to continue to bless me and be with me for all eternity. Amen. Now, Thanksgiving not only changes our perspective, but it leads us to greater appreciation. It helps us to appreciate God more. You know, when we realize the amazing generosity of God and his creativity. And that's why I laboured to talk about food and creation and everything, because God is so creative. We get so cerebral sometimes and locked into this narrow view of God. He's an artist. He's an engineer. He's a physicist. All these things. God created this incredible, beautiful world for us to enjoy. And through regular Thanksgiving, we're reminded of this generosity and this beauty and this artistry in our God. And it motivates us afresh to worship and serve him. But also with other people. It's so easy to take people for granted, isn't it? Like the picture, we can focus on one or two things about them that we don't like. And we can forget what an amazing blessing they are to us. Even as I've said that, maybe that's true for you. Maybe there's a relationship where you just feel like you're constantly, this person's irritating you. There's this couple of negative things. And you need to stop stepping back, giving thanks, and again seeing the big picture. Thanking God for the wonderful people that he's put in our lives. As we do that, we appreciate them more, and we'd be more motivated to love them, to serve them, and pray for them. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to conclude now, and I'm going to give an opportunity for prayer in a minute as well, if anyone wants it. So perhaps if we can have some members of the band up, and but let me just read the scripture. It says this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now